Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Tom from New Berlin says, this is in regard to our conversation with Rob Thomas about Andrew McCarthy trying to look cool, like wearing your Letterman's jacket at your 50th high school reunion. That's pretty good. And then Catherine from the 773 posted another picture from her deck in Madison. And I'm sure that looks terrible. The problem is, like, when you post pictures, and I know this because I took a picture yesterday because the clouds look beautiful. I was with my daughter, and I'm like, I got to capture this, and I did. And it just, like, so my point is that I know that's really bad because you can kind of see, and you have to kind of exaggerate in your mind when you see a photo of a sky. And that does not look very good. So thank you for sharing that, Catherine. Bridget from the 818 says, my favorite brat was Emilio Estevez. He is a good actor. Least favorite, Andrew McCarthy. Never thought he was a very good actor. So far, people agree with you tonight, Bridget. That's been pretty clear. On the stream with us right now from the Capital Times is entertainment reporter Rob Thomas, a frequent guest of the show. We always like talking to Rob about what he's seen, and we have very fun, spirited discussions. Conrad, you hanging in there?
I'm hanging.
Okay, you'd be okay. A lot of people have survived lightning strikes. You're going to be fine. Rob, so you saw Thelma.
Yes. Is Conrad smoking, by the way? Does he have like smoke coming from his eyes? I'm starting to get a little worried.
His face is like kind of singed. I don't know how the lightning kind of, they say it's, if you get struck in the face, it's actually better for you because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But you could say that kind of stuff in the old days before Google, if you say it with a straight enough face. Really? I didn't know that.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's because the molecules can't, whatever. Oh, I used to have fun before Google. So Conrad will be just fine though. Thank you for, checking. maybe you see a Substack article here about Conrad's condition.
That's right. The lightning strikes in movies, I think, might be a good subject. Thinking about it. Caddyshack.
Like it a lot. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Conrad.
Yeah, and a guy swimming on National Swim a Lap Day, just trying to do his part as a citizen, and then he didn't know it happens to be National Lightning Awareness Week. So it's not, what is he supposed to
aware.
Do? He's
aware.
He is now.
He's very aware. Yeah.
Conrad never makes the same mistake twice. Conrad, you still here?
Yes.
Okay, so Rob, tell us about, I was so bummed because where I live, we get pretty much the big studio films. I don't really have access to good independent films unless I can stream them. This was not available to stream, and I tried because I really want to see this movie. It just sounds and looks great, and the reviews are phenomenal, and I love what it's about.
Yeah, I'm so surprised, honestly, because Thelma, and it's such a crowd pleaser. Like, it's a movie that, like it was playing at all the theaters here in Madison. You'd think they'd be playing at least, it's such a fun movie. It's June Squibb, 94 years old, who you might remember. She was nominated for an Oscar for Nebraska a few years ago,
yeah.
Playing the mom. She's very feisty, really fun actress.
Yeah.
But she's been making movies since she was in her 20s. Like, she's been, and this is her first lead role ever, which is crazy.
Good for her. Wow.
Plays a very nice grandmother who has a grandson, a sort of a slacker 20-something who dotes on her. But she gets scammed. She gets one of those phone scams where somebody pretends to be her granddaughter and her grandson and says, I'm in prison, I'm in jail, I need $10,000. And so she gets scammed, which is actually a real scam. It does happen to some seniors, so it's actually, good awareness. But she doesn't take it lying down and decides, I'm going to find this guy who took my $10,000. And so the movie's like an action movie where she's got her motorized scooter, and eventually she picks up a psychic played by the late Richard Roundtree, Shaft himself, in the last role. And the two of them just, like, cruise around Los Angeles looking for trouble. And it's really funny. There's a lot of sort of Easter eggs and nods to Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
The score is kind of like an action movie. It's really funny. But also is like, you know, kind of real about like what it's like to get old and like, you know, the tension between wanting to stay independent and having to rely on other people for help. And it's just a really, like 90 minutes, I think, just a really fun crowd pleaser, great performances. And yeah, just a really fun movie. So probably will come to streaming in like a couple of months. Definitely kind of bookmark it for that.
God, a couple months.
Theater. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and next time maybe it's here in Green Bay. I'll have to come down early and check it out. But will Richard Roundtree, was his performance Oscar worthy in a supporting role?
I mean, maybe, I don't know. He's just a very, you know, he's a really good actor and, you know, we miss him. And it was just nice to see him in a role like that where he's, you know, he was also probably in his 80s at the time he made it and was just really, you know, like I said, it was very funny, but also very poignant about like what it's like when, you know, a lot of your friends are either passing away or, you know, deteriorating and,
yeah,
and your adult kids are worried about you, and you want to be independent, but you know you have to be realistic. And I thought it was really good. Yeah,
I only asked that about Richard Roundtree because Hollywood loves a comeback. They love when, you know, someone who is like iconic, you know, in Days of Yore comes back and like he was Shaft, you know, like that's pretty cool. And then he does right. This really fun role, and then he passes away. Not to take anything away from him, but they love those stories, you know.
True. Yeah.
That's
yeah, I mean, it's probably too small a movie. I mean, if it doesn't play in Green Bay, the Oscar, people probably won't see it. So probably too small a movie. But
hey, I moved back to Northeast Wisconsin because I thought the industry was gradually moving here. Now, it was a miscalculation, but it's not too late.
That's right. Give it time.
Rob, have you seen, I don't think you've seen it yet, but Inside Out 2?
No,
okay.
I think I'm trying to coordinate with my daughters to go see it.
Yeah.
We saw the first one and loved it.
You know what? So I had not seen the first one. Watched it with my daughter Friday night. She's a little older. She's like in her late teens, but I liked it. But this, I loved Inside Out 2 twice as much.
Oh, okay.
So, and if your daughters are around early teens, you might even love it even more. I was almost in tears at one point, but I laughed. It's such a sweet movie, and it's so good.
Yeah, they're mid to late teens, so
okay.
Yeah, I think they really want to see it, and I do too. I mean, yeah. Pixar can be a little bit hit and miss lately, but that was a really good one, the first one. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and a brilliant idea to make the emotions characters. I love that. And yes. In this one, they introduce a whole different bunch of emotions without saying too much. It's just great. So I'll look forward to speaking with you about that, too, after you see that.
Cool.
Aside from Inside Out 2, what are you still hoping to see this summer?
Well, The Bike Riders. I'm going to see that Wednesday night with a buddy of mine, so I'm excited about that.
Cool.
This Kevin Costner movie, Horizon.
Yeah,
this two-part Western. The first part's coming Friday. I'm really excited about that. And like, I mean, apparently he's given up on Yellowstone to do this. He's put like $100 million of his own money in it.
Yeah,
and
how crazy is that?
I love it. I mean, I think, you know, he's taking a big swing. And
sure is.
And you know, I've loved all his Western. I mean, Dances with Wolves, but also there's that one Open Range about 20 years ago with Robert Duvall. That's really good.
Right.
Silverado. If you want to go back that far,
Silverado was great.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm in for that. That's a big screen experience.
He loves himself in a cowboy hat, I think, because he was also in that film with Diane Lane where their son, I think, was killed.
Let Her Go. Yeah.
Or was it their daughter? I don't remember much about it. I think that was also, he was like a cowboy on a farm out west too. So like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah. He loves to stand on a prairie. He looks damn good.
Right. Exactly. all right. So next time you come back, we'll talk Inside Out 2. We will talk. I will have seen the Kevin Costner movie as well. And I saw The Bike Riders, but we'll wait to, we'll talk about that after you see it. And,
okay.
And then, what was I going to ask you? Oh, you said you recently rewatched Before Sunrise. How did that hold up for you?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because I don't know if I had seen it since I saw it in the theaters in the 90s, maybe one more time, not long after that. But then, of course, there's two other movies, Before Sunset in 2004 and Before Midnight.
Midnight?
Yeah, about 10 years ago. Yeah. And they look like such little babies. Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy in this movie. They're in their mid-20s. They look like little babies.
I know.
And it's so romantic and optimistic. But now you're watching it knowing how the arc of the relationship is going to go. And that makes it even more poignant, I think. Yeah. So, because I'd seen Hitman and I, with Richard Linklater also directed it. I was like, I want to go back and see.
Yeah.
Before Sunrise. So I popped it out. And, it's an excellent movie. Really timeless. Like for a night, it doesn't feel like a 90s movie because there's not many pop culture references or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you about that, because I just saw it again recently. I hadn't seen it all the way through, and I have not seen the other two. But this is, you're right, it's timeless, and it's just two people talking and getting to know each other, but it's interesting, and they move. It's got a good pace, despite that there's not a ton of stuff happening. It's just brilliant.
Right.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Well, you got to watch the next year. The second one, I think, is the best one. Yeah.
Okay. I'll try to watch those before we talk next, too. Well, thanks so much, Rob. Stay safe there in Madison, and get off that trampoline and take cover.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, buddy. To you, man. Thanks, you too. That's Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. And check out Rob Thomas, not that Rob Thomas, Substack. He does great work in both publications. You will not be disappointed. And always great with Rob's movie. I cannot wait to see Thelma even more now. I so wanted to see that this weekend, and it just was nowhere. I almost thought about pirating it. That goes against everything. Look, I'm a union guy through and through. I'm in the Actors Guild, the Writers Guild, and I will not pirate a movie. I have watched movies my son has pirated because I had no control over it. So I'm a little bit of a hypocrite, but I do believe strongly in that. I'll wait till it comes to the theaters and give it a watch, because it's supposed to be great. It's getting like a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Was that Corey calling back, Conrad?
No.
Okay. Who was it? Was it for me?
It's Roger.
Oh, it's Rob. Of course. Wait, is he coming on next?
Yes.
Oh, he is? Did we tell him? We can make that work. I'm just excited he's here. Okay, when we come back, Roger Rappaport, the writer of Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. Great book. He's doing a book signing tomorrow in Door County. We'll talk about it next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. Welcome back. Please let us know. Tonight's question is, who is your favorite Brat Packer and who is your least favorite Brat Packer? We just had a lengthy, spirited discussion with Rob Thomas from the Capital Times about the Bratz documentary on Hulu. I'm halfway through it. But who is your least favorite Brat Packer and who is your most favorite Brat Packer? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you are in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area or west of Madison, really watch the weather, folks. There is still some pending weather that is supposed to get worse as the night goes on in those areas. And then also Madison to Waukesha and down into Racine and Kenosha. They are expecting pockets of 70 and 75 mile an hour winds and 2-inch hail. And that is in effect until 1 a.m. tomorrow morning. So be careful. Don't go out if you don't have to, and keep an eye on that weather. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show. He's been here before, and he's been talking, he's talked to us about his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. And he's doing a book signing tomorrow that we want to talk to him about. So we had him back on the show. Roger Rappaport joins us now. Hey, Roger.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks a lot.
Great to have you back. And I'm, ideally I would have been there tomorrow. I've never been to Washington Island. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to get up there and sort of talk with you in person again. I haven't seen you in person in years, but I sort of dropped the ball a little bit. But I'm glad you could still be on the show tonight to discuss what's happening tomorrow. So it's great to have you.
Well, Pete, you know, you're not alone. you know, Door County actually has 35 islands near it that are part of the county, but really only one, Washington Island, is really the hub of island traffic, so to speak. And it's worth a trip when you can get there. And I'm going to be signing tomorrow, searching for Patty Hearst, in part because a main chapter in the book is set on Washington Island. It's a place I love. And for those who can't possibly get over right away, it's definitely not going anywhere. And there's a lot to catch up on.
You are a total journalist because I live in the area. You just told me stuff I don't even know about Door County and having 35 islands. I had no idea. Let's give people, before we jump to the Washington Island connection, can you give us a little background on the book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel? Can you tell listeners what it's about?
Right. So the book I'm signing tomorrow, Searching for Patty Hearst, published by Lexicographic Press in Chicago, is based on reporting that I did 50 years ago covering the kidnapping of media heiress Patty Hearst. She was the daughter of Catherine and Randy Hearst and the granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst, America's first really important media baron, who had a multimedia influence across radio, television, syndication, international, and so on. Kind of the Rupert Murdoch of his era, and still the 11th wealthiest family in America. Patty had a very privileged upbringing, and after she was kidnapped by the Seminese Liberation Army in February of 1974, she joined her kidnappers in a bank robbery in San Francisco, and then announced she was joining the Seminese Liberation Army, the revolutionary group. She fell in love with one of her kidnappers, Willie Wolf, renounced her fiance, who she was about to marry. And I covered not only the trial, the arrest, and the kidnapping, but I also wrote a book with her fiance, Steve Weed, that was never published. And now this book is based on all of my reporting and coverage of the case. Very shortly after kidnapping, just 3 months later, six of the kidnappers died in a firefight with the LAPD, Los Angeles Police, including Willie Wolf, her fiance, and then she was on the run for a year and a half. So it's quite an extraordinary story. And the only kidnapper to ever join a bank robbery with her kidnapped victims. To join a bank robbery with her kidnappers. I did interview her kidnapper, Bill Harris, after he got out of jail. And then on my book tour, we reconnected again, and he shared a lot of new information about the case, which I published, and it's on the website of the publisher, pattyhearst.com, kind of an unexpected bonus of the book tour.
What's it like when you talk to Bill Harris? Like, you just said he was one of the kidnappers. Where is he now?
And the guy that actually carried her out of
the apartment. Yeah.
And stuffed her in a trunk. Yeah.
And where's this guy now? And what's his retrospect? Like, when he looks back, how does he feel about everything? Was he chalk it up to crazy youth or drugs or just what was the deal?
Well, in the 70s, during that period, you know, you had the Weathermen, the Seminese Liberation Army, and a lot of radical groups that were fighting to shut down the Vietnam War. He was a Vietnam War vet. And at the time, they were trying to get a foothold in the media. So their real goal was to build a case in the media for ending the Vietnam War, which actually did end a year after the kidnapping, and to also talk a lot about privilege and, you know, food insecurity and so on. So one of the things they did right away when choosing a media heiress was, of course, they got front page coverage immediately for all their communiques, and they got the Hearst to start a free food program, give away millions of dollars of food and so on. So basically, their primary goal was to get coverage and get media attention to their cause. And they were quite successful. The Patty Hearst story at the time was so big that it knocked Watergate off the front page, if you can imagine that. Patty, I think, was on the cover of Newsweek like seven times. So on that score, they succeeded. However, most of the SLA members died within a year of her kidnapping. And Bill is one of the, you know, one of the, along with Patty and his wife, are one of the three survivors of the kidnapping.
Wow. And did you tell me last time, Roger, that Steve Weed initially was cooperative, but then you two had a parting of the ways? I hope I'm remembering that correctly.
Well, that's another minor part of the story, but it actually has significance in this respect. So Steve was her math teacher at Crystal Springs School for Girls. She was 16 years old when they met and their affair began. And that was a turning point in Patty's life. It was really when she effectively began living with Steve, and then they went to Berkeley together. But at the time of her kidnapping, she was walking through United Farm Worker picket lines at Safeway. You know, she basically had zero interest in leftist politics. There was a student strike when she went to junior college at Menlo College, and she went to school anyway. So she had zero interest in the left, and Steve was a philosophy student. After she was kidnapped and he recovered from his beating in the hands of the SLA at Patty's family home, he moved into my house, and we wrote a book together. And what happened was that when we neared completion, he decided that some of the material in the book that the publisher wanted, Patty's mother, for example, was really quite negative on a family trip back to Atlanta, kind of a roots trip with Patty, and she was using the N-word right and left.
Let's pick it up right there, Roger. Can you hang for a couple minutes?
Sure, yeah.
When we come back, and then we'll talk more about the signing tomorrow. Roger Rappaport is my guest. His book is Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. He has a signing tomorrow on Washington Island, and we'll be back next with more with Roger Rappaport on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Nightlight for part two of my discussion with Roger Rappaport, filmmaker, author, and journalist who wrote the book Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. Roger, you were in the middle of telling us about how you and Steve Weed kind of parted ways throughout the process.
Well, there were a lot of things in the book that Patty had said, like, you know, she made a joke about her dad's paper, the San Francisco Examiner. Nobody under 80, you know, reads your paper, and so on. And just a lot of things that he didn't feel belonged, like his history of being a marijuana dealer, Princeton, you know, get your weed from weed. So basically, when the book was done, he decided to pull the plug, publish his own book, and, you know, paid me off, you know, for my time. And then I wrote a piece of in New Times Magazine with all the stuff that he left out, basically. So I got to publish a lot of it anyway. But this book,
after you cashed the check,
Washington Island, right? Exactly. And Washington Island in particular is a turning point for the book. And of all the signings that I've done, this one is the only one that's actually taking place on an island at Fair Isle Books with Deb Wayman and her family, Bob, Shelby, and Adam. And I want to say something about this particular bookstore, which is, as you can imagine, it's the largest island of the 34 in Door County.
Yeah.
And it's also, the bookshop is doing extremely well. They've owned it for about 11 years. And there's also a book festival that they're part of called the Washington Island Literary Festival. But it's a destination bookstore, meaning people come from all over the country to shop here. And partly it's because of their personal recommendations. They do a lot of mail order business, of course, with people that just want to support this indie bookstore. So I'm very excited to be there because as a book publisher myself for many years, the indie stores basically kept my authors alive. And a lot of it was personal recommendations and events. And although obviously not everybody listening tonight can make it to Washington Island and to Fair Isle Books. However, you can shop there anytime you want online. And in so doing, you're helping a local business. And that's what I love about Door County. I mean, Pete, there is no other county in America with 28,000 people that has five professional movie theaters, stage theaters.
Yeah.
There's such wide support for independent bookstores, you know, music festivals. There's a whole artist economy that's a direct result of people, not just from Wisconsin, but from all over the country. I know this is true because I did a piece for the LA Times about these all these theaters, and I went to one tonight.
Which one?
I went to Northern Sky tonight, and,
okay.
and they're doing, you know, some fabulous locally written musicals that only appear here. So people come from all over the country, and the same with Fair Isle Books. I mean, when you get off the ferry, that's one of the first places that people go. So even though not everybody can get to Washington Island this summer, like me, they can still shop there, and in so doing, you're supporting an independent family business. And I really feel that one of the great things as a film producer and a writer, it isn't just that I film movies here, but we've just had tremendous audiences. And there's just so much talent. As far as Washington Island itself, beyond the bookstore, of course, you know, there's great beaches and, you know, it's just a wonderful place to visit, you know, really for the day, Lavender Farms and hiking, boat tours and so on.
And some history regarding shipwrecks too, like a lot of those.
Right. The shipwreck story is great. And then right next door is Rock Island. You can take a ferry over there. And it's just a fun place to visit. And most of the people I know, including a lot of people my friends in Door County, have never been to Washington Island because it is a ferry ride.
Yeah.
But the bookstore alone, you know, just to go over there and then hang out at the beach and, you know, go swimming and so on, kayaking,
It's great. We go to, I would say, Door County multiple times a year. Just love it over there. And one of these days I will get to Washington Island. But in your book, Roger, I swapped emails with Deb today. There's a connection to Washington Island in the book. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So one of the key moments in the book is when I get there. So the story is basically about my 50-year search for the truth. Was Patty Hearst brainwashed, a victim of the Stockholm Syndrome, or did she really truly become a revolutionary? And a turning point in the book happens on Washington Island when I go there to a fictional beauty parlor called Curl Up and Die. And there, one of the key figures in the kidnapping is now cutting hair. And she leads me to basically the person who does the reveal on what happened that night that she was kidnapped. Why did they take her? You know, why did the SLA actually decide to kidnap her? And without giving away the whole story, essentially, this is the big reveal in the book. And I set it on Washington Island just because I love the place. Yeah, I love being there so much. And it just seemed like a perfect location. One of the great things about Wisconsin, you know, for anybody who's doing work like you're doing, is that it's a true crossroads. And, you know, for America, you know, so many great writers and theater artists and so forth, you know, have gotten a start here that would have been, you know, really, really difficult any place else in the country.
And this is coming from a Michigan man, so we appreciate that compliment. Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I said I swapped emails with Deb earlier today. She actually said in her email she was in California when all this happened, when Patty Hearst was kidnapped, right. I think. Does she have an alibi?
That's right. Yeah, that's true. And she does not have an alibi. So
okay.
We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. But I'll find out. I'm sure she's got a good one, actually. But she hasn't shared it with me yet.
My guest is Roger Rappaport. He's a journalist, a filmmaker, and the author of Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel, as well as many other books. What can people expect tomorrow if they go, if they can make it to Washington Island for the book signing? What time does it start?
First of all, they don't need Google Maps, because when you get off the ferry, you walk off the dock, and there is a bookstore right there.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going to be there from 1:30 to 3:30.
Okay.
And much as I wish that, you know, many of your listeners could be there tomorrow, I know that it's a bit of a hike, you know, even for people that live in Green Bay. But the books will be there. They'll be autographed. And, of course, I'll be, you know, talking a little bit about the story behind the book. And, of course, Deb will be talking about her alibi, needless to say.
She better have a good one.
Right.
Hey, so you've made films. You and Richard Reilly, who's been a guest on this show, and who I am one of his biggest fans. He's one of the hardest working actors in show business.
Yeah.
And I know you guys connected on a couple of your projects. How are things going? Are you guys collaborating on anything? Do you have a new film in the works, Roger?
Well, actually, I do have a new film in the works. It's based on a play that I adapted from a Peter Ferry novel called Old Heart. And the film will be out next year. And I spoke to Richard today, and he brought me up to speed. And he's in the middle of, he's on his way next week to work on a new film. It's a Christmas movie. But something that you probably don't know about Richard is I think he holds the record for the most appearances as Santa Claus. He's up to 16 films as Santa Claus.
He's got it down by now, I would imagine.
Yeah, but he's had an amazing, amazing career, you know.
He sure has.
And he's one of my favorite actors. He's also great to work with. And one of the great things about being in Door County is I get to see some of my film actors, like Doug Mancheski, who I've worked with, is, you know, I saw tonight at Northern Sky, and Neil Brookshire, and I'm going to see a Third Avenue Playhouse in Surgeon Bay on Friday
night.
So it's a real showcase of acting talent. So between the bookstores that are here in Door County, and, you know, the wonderful theater scene and all the music and everything, it's really a national attraction. People come from all over America to be in Door County.
It's a very special place, no question. I think I told you this before when I met you guys on the PBS show I host. I interviewed you about your movie Pilot Error. You brought Richard along. And then I ran into Richard somewhere else. And then I in my hometown of Marinette, he and I were in a film together shortly after that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, Richard. Really?
Wow.
Like, it was all like within 6 months, and we just became friends. And he's a big supporter of this show, and we're going to have him on again soon. But a great guy, and I kind of have you to thank for my initial meeting of him. So thank you for that too, Roger.
Yeah, well, that's great. And if there are all books tomorrow on the Searching for Patty Hearst signing, you know, obviously one of the reasons that I do these events is people show up, and in this case, like, Patty Hearst kidnapper showed up one of my book signings, but we also had somebody who came to one of my Searching for Patty Hearst signings who actually lived and worked on the Hearst Ranch and talked about how the FBI missed the fact that during her year and a half on the run, she was hiding out at the Hearst Ranch near San Simeon.
Oh my gosh.
Which is pretty hard to believe.
So
the FBI missed that one.
Before we let you go, Roger, and thank you again for your time tonight, do you think she got a fair sentence? I mean, what is your take on it? Was it Stockholm Syndrome, or was she a revolutionary?
I don't think there's any question that at the time she felt that the safest course for her to take was to go with the SLA. After all, you know, six of them had been caught in the biggest firefight in American history on American soil and died. So she wasn't really about to turn herself in. She didn't really have a lot of alternatives. So I think for her own safety and protection, she didn't feel safe going home. After all, her parents hadn't ransomed her. They had the wherewithal to do that. The $4 million ask was really not a stretch for them. And when they decided to not bring her home, I think she felt she was on her own, and she just didn't feel that the FBI and the police were necessarily going to be a good place for her to go. And she had multiple opportunities to turn herself in and didn't.
Right.
And I think she was just afraid that what happened to her comrades in that firefight could happen to her. so she felt safer, you know, hiding out with them. As far as the bank robbery goes, it's very clear from my interview with Bill Harris. You know, we met at one of the Searching for Patty Hearst signings, and we talked about it. He basically, she saved his life at one point in a shootout. But she wanted to be in that bank robbery, and she wanted to be on camera because she wanted everybody to know that in her communiques, stating that she had become a revolutionary, that she wasn't, you know, she was a big force. And in fact, some of these communiques, the SLA tried to turn them down when she was denouncing her family and as Pighurst and so on.
Wow.
So I think it was important to her to establish that she really had decided to run with them, and they did not force her into it.
Crazy. Roger, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your time on Washington Island and in Door County and here in Wisconsin. So great to have you on the show. And just the next thing you got in the works, come back and talk to us.
Thanks. Take care.
You got it. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Roger.
Good night. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So if you are in the area tomorrow, I see, it sounds like enough to me just to go check out that bookstore. And it's called Fair Isle Books and Gifts. Tomorrow, Roger will be there between 1:30 and 3:30. Signing copies of his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. And Roger is a great guy. So if you can make it, please go and then call the show tomorrow and tell us how it was, because I'm sorry I won't be able to be there, but very talented guy. Tomorrow night on the show, Frank Anderson and Don Rosen. Don Rosen and I will be talking about celebrity encounters, and that will be our question tomorrow. Have you had a celebrity encounter? Who was it? How did it go? We'll talk about that. That'll be a fun discussion. And Frank Anderson and I will talk weird Wisconsin and all things Wisconsin. He is the man when it comes to Wisconsin chat. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight, and we will be back to wrap things up and check on Conrad's condition once again. So, Stacy Sue says on the stream, hi, Pete and Conrad. Stacy, where were you? You were late. We were worried about you. Good to have you with us, though, even if it's just for part of the show. She says, I missed the question. It's right there on the stream, Stacy. You can read it. It says, who is your least favorite Brat Packer and who is your most favorite? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Blake says hello on the stream. He says, hello, Mr. Pete Schwabe. Hello, Blake. Hope you're having a good night, buddy. I'd like to thank Rob Thomas. It's always fun to talk to Rob. We had a great discussion about the Bratz documentary, which I will probably finish later tonight. And Roger Rappaport and his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, A True Crime Story. He will be on Washington Island tomorrow signing his book at the Fair Isle Bookstore, a throwback bookstore. And what sounds like about the most charming place you've ever seen. I've never been there, but I did a little research earlier today and it looks great. We are just thanking our lucky stars tonight because Conrad is okay. And you might have heard us talking earlier in the show. It is National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Safety Awareness Week. And the two just coincided on this day. It was a perfect storm. You know, Conrad was trying to be a good citizen. He was swimming a lap to honor the day. And, well, we just happened to have it. Thanks to cell phones, I captured what happened when I saw him in the pool during a storm. It was crazy. Let's play that again, Conrad. Conrad, what are you doing in the pool?
It's National Swim a Lap Day.
Yeah, but it's also National Lightning Awareness Day. Get out of there! It just, you know, it just makes you appreciate the moment. And we'll get you over to that doctor. You feeling better, though?
You know, I will say I did get to a lap.
And are you like, how do you feel after the lightning? Are you clairvoyant now or are you, how do you feel? Do you feel different?
You know, at the start of the show, my mind was a little foggy.
Yeah.
I just kind of cleared, you know, I'm a little bit better.
You seem like you're back.
But I need to see that lightning doctor.
All right, we'll go. That's what his specialty is. And
his name's Dr. Lightning, right?
It is, and he does not take insurance, unfortunately. So.
Well, you got me, right?
Yeah, we'll put you on a payment plan. We'll send Sage a bill. What's this for? Oh, well, Conrad, it was for a bit we did. He got struck by. And we don't mean to make light. There are some serious weather situations happening in Wisconsin. So hopefully this brought a little joy to your night, and we're not trying to make light of what could be a harrowing situation in the Twin Cities. According to Corey Hartman, who was on the show about an hour ago, he said that there is still bad weather pending up near Minneapolis, St. Paul, as you go to that direction of our state. Also from Madison to Waukesha, down to into southeast Wisconsin and Racine and Kenosha, up to 70 or 75 mile an hour winds and 2-inch hail. So best thing to do, just stay inside, folks. Why risk it? So today also is Mindy Kaling's birthday. And you found some very funny clips. She's one of my favorite Office characters. And I think it would be a great way to end the show if we went out with some Mindy Kaling laughter. Do we have, what clip should we do?
We can play all of them if we wanted.
What's the first one?
Well, we got Kelly teaching customer service.
Oh, that's a great one. Okay, so here's what happened. We give a little background. Steve Carell is addressing them. I think what set this whole story in motion, the whole episode, was that somebody put an obscene gesture on all of their paper that went out to businesses, and they had to do damage control. So people who were accountants had to do sales, and Kelly Kapoor was in charge of training them to do sales. And here's that clip.
Customer service isn't like accounting. It's not just typing numbers into a calculator and then it tells you an answer.
We do a lot more than that.
Okay, or hand out checks or whatever it is you do. Look, I know the reason that you guys became accountants is because you're not good at interacting with people. But guess what? From now on, you guys are no longer losers. So give yourselves a round of applause.
I wonder how many phone calls you're missing while you're teaching us to answer calls.
I know, right? Probably a lot.
Can you just tell us what we need to do so we can go?
Okay, Angela, I love your enthusiasm. All you need to know how to do is pick up the phone and say, customer service, this is Kelly. Except don't say Kelly, say your own name. Or if you're bored, you can just make up a name. Like one time, I said I was Bridget Jones, and I talk like this for the whole conversation.
Oh, can I be Australian, mate?
Absolutely.
Hello, mate.
I like ice cream. I need a boyfriend.
I like ice cream too, mate. Alligators and dingo baby.
You have another one. What was the other one you had with the
So Jim and I forget who the other two were, but they're looking for a new manager, and Kelly explains why she'd be a good manager.
This is a good one. Let's run that one. That's great.
Well, I manage my department, and I've been doing that for several years now. And God, I've learned a lot of life lessons along the way.
Your department's just you, right?
Yes, Jim, but I am not easy to manage.
So, speaking of Jim Halpert or John Krasinski, Stacy, no, Conrad was not seriously struck by lightning. That is a question.
I was not.
Truly caring or reaching out. If I was like a con artist, we could have set up a GoFundMe for Conrad, kind of like a save Ferris. But no, he's just fine. Stacy, we had some fun earlier with that. A Quiet Place Day One opens this weekend. Here's how well Inside Out 2 is doing at the box office. In a summer where, you know, prognosticators were all nervous about the summer box office, it has come back gangbusters. Like, In-N-Out 2 is setting records upon records, and they think it'll be number one for a third week in a row. Quiet Place Day One, which is a franchise now, is expected to take in about $42 million. They don't think that will beat Inside Out 2. So it's not just me, folks. I loved it, but check it out for yourselves. I did see the Bike Riders too. Did we talk about that, Conrad?
Yes.
Maybe I got struck by lightning. And I watched last weekend, after my conversation with Mike Schmidt, I went back and watched Kill Bill because I hadn't seen that in a while. And that film might be the most Tarantino. No, it would be Pulp Fiction. But after Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill might be the most Tarantino-y of the Tarantino films. I really enjoyed it. Good animation, cool tip of the hat to old Hong Kong movies and karate, and there's even a carrot in it. All right, Thanks so much, folks, for being part of your, for letting us be part of your Monday night here in Wisconsin. We heard from all parts of the state tonight, and we will do so as well tomorrow. Wherever you are, stay safe tonight. Tomorrow night, Don Rosen and Frank Anderson will be with us. I hope you will too. Thanks for your texts and calls. As always, I'm Pete Schwabe on behalf of Conrad. Thanks for listening to Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.